Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here we are, jumping off into our third and final hour, leading you into the Saints Hour with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, along with some Saints brass, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. Our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines are open at 504-260-1870. Sean Ross at Master Control taking your phone calls on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines at 504-260-1870. Joe in Mandeville. What's going on, Joe? You're on WWL, Joe.
That's the voice. That's the voice that I love. Joe, what's up, man? God, you have to be so discouraged. Now, I guess the Cowgirls are doing good, but man, the Longhorns. You had to be extremely disappointed. You thought it was an upgrade from Tom Herman. What's up? Come on.
So you thought they needed to win the conference after 1 year with the head coach. Is that what it is?
Embarrassed. Sarkisian, I mean, the defense, they can't be that sorry. I mean, come on. Don't you think they were better with Tom Herman or what?
Robert, give him time. It'll be fine. Good Lord.
So what about the Fighting Tigers, Joe? You like that hire or what?
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about. First of all, you know, Wilson Alexander, the best job in the country. Wilson, put the crack pipe away. You're not the LSU is not the best job in the country. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
It's one of the best. Come on, you have to admit that.
He said it was the best.
Well, he's being a homer there.
This hire.
Okay.
Do you know his record against the top five?
It is not too good. Now he's had
what
a great
is it,
record.
Bobby?
No, it is not.
Say it.
No, it's not good. I admit it's not good. He is no
three don't. And 20, Bobby. Three and 20.
And that doesn't okay. lie. I think Notre Dame fans, they'll bring that up for sure.
Now I can tell you this: you don't have to worry about the academic fraud that he put Notre Dame under for the probation because they don't go to class at LSU.
Joe.
All right, look, I wish you well, but I need to tell you this. You fighting name droppers of LSU, dial back your temptation here. I know you got to temper your enthusiasm, but come on. This is not an all-time hire. He was crawfishing after Lincoln dished him, okay?
Right.
Why? If it was the best job in the country, why didn't Lincoln come?
Because he's afraid of the SEC, because
right.
Texas and Oklahoma is going to the SEC. So he says, man, if I just turn around USC like Pete Carroll did, boy, and I get a Heisman, boy, it's a lot easier to win the Pac-12 and get into the playoffs than to win the SEC. Joe, that's what I think Lincoln Riley was thinking.
I also think, Joe, that after he turns around USC, Lincoln Riley's headed to the NFL.
Yeah, but then he has his cake and eat it too.
Yeah, Joe, we got to step away and come back. Thanks for the phone call, Joe. Good to hear from you. Coming back for Greg the Fireman next here on Sports Talk on WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby and Christian. Babe Laufenberg joining us now, Dallas Cowboys color analyst. The Cowboys come to town Thursday night to clash with the Saints. And Babe, welcome to the show. And what's the COVID situation right now with Dallas? It seems like it's just running through the entire team.
Team and now the coaching staff, as you're probably well aware, Mike McCarthy came down. Gosh, my days are mixed up, probably like you guys, with the Thanksgiving game and then coming back for a Thursday game. So you don't have that normal Sunday to Sunday. But, so offensive line coach is out. Assistant offensive line coach won't be there. Obviously, Mike McCarthy won't be there. So no question, it's running through the team. And, again, now the coaching staff.
Who's gonna be act as the head coach?
It'll be Dan Quinn, who was, of course, the head coach in Atlanta, and he's the current defensive coordinator here and has done a very nice job, I might add. So, he'll just slide right in. The interesting thing is he has been, the defensive play caller as well, and he'll be on the field. He has been in the booth, so this will be the first time for the Cowboys that he has been on the field calling defensive signals because obviously he's the acting or interim head coach here, he's got to be down on the sideline.
So now, Babe, the Saints have really been snake bit with injuries to key players, not just, reserves or your depth. When you look at Dallas right now and right tackle Terrence Steele, how significant is that? Because I'm looking at, Ryan Ramczyk, the right tackle with the Saints, Teron Armstead, the left tackle, how – we arguably say they can be in the conversation the best duo of tackles. But where do you place, like, Terrence Steele and what he means to Dallas? I see that CeeDee Lamb's coming back, considering that Dallas has the number one offense. So, listen, no one feels sorry for when you got players who are out and they're hurt. But what is your take come Thursday night, Saints and Dallas? I mean, I'm looking at, you would say, man, I got to take the under. I'm looking at the last two times they play. What is this, the 1960s? Babe, this is before you and I even played. It's like 12-10, 13-10. Are you kidding me with those type of scores or what?
I was thinking about that, just reflecting, kind of getting my prep work And I'm like, yeah, that's right. You know, basically, if you score two touchdowns the last couple of games in this series, you can win the game. But, you know, and then I think they're somewhat similar, the two teams, only in the sense that, you know, Cowboys have lost three of their last four. I know you guys have obviously lost four straight. And injuries have played a part in what's happened with the Cowboys. They missed Amari Cooper for the last two games. C.D. Lamb played the first half of the Kansas City game, was concussed right before halftime, so they didn't have him for the second half. Zeke Elliott's been hobbled. Tyron Smith, they're probably future Hall of Fame left tackle. You know, he missed three games, came back against Las Vegas here. That was his first game back. So anyway, long and short, I guess like a lot of the teams in the NFL, they're just trying to plug holes. And I think the one big difference is, unlike you guys who will not get your quarterback back, they've got guys hurt who will be coming back. Randy Gregory, who was playing great at defensive end. DeMarcus Lawrence, who hasn't played all season, but he'll be back here. You know, all these guys are probably within a week or two. DeMarcus Lawrence probably will be back Thursday night. So they're getting these guys back. Amari Cooper has missed two with COVID. Sounds like he may miss this one as well. And but, you know, he'll be back eventually. So C.D. Lamb will be back this week. So they're getting their guys back, unlike a lot of teams who lose guys for the year.
Babe Laufenberg, Dallas Cowboys color analyst. Babe, Micah Parsons has been an absolute find. They have to be happy with his production, right, as a rookie?
He's been off the charts. I mean, I was saying the other day, when you take a guy at number 12, you expect him to be good. Matter of fact, you expect him to be really good, but he has been just sensational. I mean, and when they lost Randy Gregory at defensive end, they haven't had Tank Lawrence all year. They lost another defensive end. They basically had to move him from linebacker, which is what they drafted him to play, to defensive end. And he has been a tremendous pass rusher for the Cowboys this year. And I mean, he makes plays. He's got nine sacks. He's got 15 tackles for loss, not only behind Nick Bosa, who has 16. I mean, the numbers go on and on with the kid. And you're going to really like watching him play. You may not like watching you playing against him, but he's literally one of those guys who's all over the field.
Babe, I've watched him play a couple times this year. That's an impressive football player.
Babe, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm an old man, get off my lawn. But to say like he's a Lawrence Taylor, come on, I think he has to do a little more to be along those lines.
I just said he's a rookie.
But they have a lot of fans that, oh, he's the next LT. I said, oh,
slow down.
Slow your roll. What do you think, yeah, Babe?
As we all know, there's been a lot of next LTs, but there hasn't been another LT, right? The only next LT was LaDainian Tomlinson, but he's good. And when Bill Parcells was here, guys, he used to always say, if anybody ever talked about a young guy like Micah Parsons, somebody in the press conference said, you know, hey, Micah, he's leading all rookies in sacks, and he's got 15 tackles for losses, just kind of stuff I did. He would say, hey, whoa, let's not get out the anointing oil on this kid just yet.
slow your roll.
Or he would say, oh, you guys want to send him to Canton. He's played four games. You want to send him to Canton? Okay. Let's get him fit for the gold jacket.
Babe, in another area, like offense, defense, special teams, I don't know if I've ever witnessed this, because the Saints are usually always outstanding. It's not 100%. But it seems like when you're flipping the field and the hidden yardage, the Saints always win in the return game. I don't know if I ever win this by Dallas. The number one kick return, which is outstanding, 29 yards a kick return, 29.2 to be exact. But dead last punt return, 5.2. What's up with that? Why don't you get your kick returner to return punts?
Well, that's a good question. Tony Pollard is the kick returner, and he's a dynamic player. And, of course, I don't know what his average was, quite honestly, before the Thanksgiving game. But when you take one for 100 for a touchdown, your average goes way up. Yeah, but it's weird. They have been very poor on punt return. And, they've been good on kick return. They've been great. Brian Anger, their punter, I mean, he has been flipping the field. I think he is second in net average. So they've been great at punting and covering punts. But, yeah, punt return just has not been dynamic there.
Babe, Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator for Dallas, for you guys, how is he viewed in that organization? He, I, from afar, I think he's going to be a head coach someday soon.
Well, he interviewed for the Philadelphia job this past year. Nick Sirianni, of course, got it. And he was the hot commodity the first seven games when the Cowboys played Tampa Bay to the wire on the road in the opener and then won the next six. But I guess cooled off a little bit over the last four. They struggled offensively against Kansas City, struggled offensively against Denver. Again, reasons for it, guys out, all that good stuff. But no, I think he's great. You know, he of course at Boise State, I believe it was 52-3 as a quarterback there, and he's just one of those lifers guys. His dad was a legendary high school coach in the state of Washington, and I think from the time he was five, like he was the ball boy. And he's been drawing up plays. He did his thesis. He did a 10-page paper when he was in college on Tom Brady. So I think the whole time he would spend his money. Apparently, he would spend his money on videos, coaching videos. You know how everybody else would go out and buy albums,
right?
And Bobby and I would buy 8-tracks.
Yeah, 8-tracks, CDs, maybe cassette tapes.
Babe, you know what somebody told me at the Senior Bowl about Kellen Moore? One of the scouts said, "Look, he has a chance to play, but he's to play in this league, to last in this league, but." He's definitely going to be a coach in terms of they recognize his football acumen quickly.
Yeah, I mean, he and again, he's been around it. Nobody did more when he was at Boise with motion and all the things that we're seeing now at the pro level. Nobody did more of it than Boise State when he was playing there. And I remember, too, you talk about he's going to be a great coach. I talked to Chip Kelly on the field. Chip was a head coach at San Francisco for the 49ers at the time. So I'm on the field. I just say, "Hey, coach, blah, blah, blah." We talk a little. I mentioned Kellen Moore. And he's, oh, I mean, his eyes just lit up. Hey, this guy, he recited every statistic, right? 86 touchdowns, 52-3 as a star. Love that kid. I'm like, well, why haven't you signed him? You've been he was at Philadelphia. He could have signed him. Could have signed him at San Francisco. But I really liked Kellen as a player, and I was mad at him. Kellen and I are friendly, and I told him when he went into coaching, I said, "Man, Kellen, I wanted you to play, and I really think he could have." He obviously physically, you know, he looks like the paper boy. He's about 6'1". I don't know if there's a muscle on his body. didn't have the big arm, but, man, so smart, really accurate. And I think with everything they're doing today, especially with calling – you know, a lot of things at the line of scrimmage. I think he really would have been a successful player. And what's funny, too, his second start, he threw for 425 yards. Second start. He was one of, like, Whoa. Four guys to do that. But anyway, he got into coaching. And I always, when I text him, I'll always say, "Hey, you know, I had, well, my two boys, we loved him and playing." And so I'd say, "You know, the Loughborough boys are still mad at you, right?" So he said, "Hey, it worked out okay for me."
Obviously. Now, Babe, looking at the game Thursday night, what is Dallas's mindset? Obviously, they want to come back and, you know, both the Saints and Dallas had disappointing games on Thanksgiving Day and night. But, we kind of spoiled the Who Dat Nation. I mean, it's like back-to-back home games in the Dome, and that's a lot of points. We like 6 points on the dog is basically a touchdown, back-to-back games. That doesn't happen too often. Where is Dallas at? Are they maybe a little overconfident? Because to me, if the Saints win, it's an upset. What is your take on that come Thursday night?
I don't think they'll be overconfident. I think they were disappointed with the way they played against Denver, and then disappointed with the way they played against Kansas City, especially offensively. And the Raiders game, just disappointed they lost.
right.
That was just a crazy game with, you know, everything going on in it, penalties. You know, offensively, they were fine. They weren't as sharp as they've been, but, you know, they put up 33 points, took it to overtime.
Right.
I think the mindset that I feel like they're in right now is – they kind of skated along at the start. You know, again, lost to Tampa Bay. Stop me if you've heard this before, on a last-minute Tom Brady drive that won it for Tampa. And then they won six in a row. And it was one of those, like, hey, who's going to beat them? Who's going to stop them? And I don't know that they necessarily got full of themselves or all those whatever cliches you want to use. But, you know, they haven't really played great football the last 4 weeks, and I do know that they think of themselves as a not only a playoff team, but a team that's going to make some noise in the playoffs. And I think there's a sense of, hey, if we're the team we think we are, we've got to get this thing back on track. So there's no doubt that New Orleans is going to get their best effort Thursday night.
Babe, was Jerome Bogar the officiating crew for your game?
No, it was Sean Hockley. Are you talking the Raiders game, Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean Hockley.
I saw Jerome Bogar, because Jerome Bogar's crew is notorious. They lead the league in penalty flags thrown, and the Saints had a game with them here recently, and there was 17 total penalties between the two teams, and I saw him on Thanksgiving. I just couldn't remember what game it was, but again, I just saw the amount of flags that crew was throwing in that game. I can't remember if it was in the Lions game or if it was the it was the Lions game that he had to have officiated.
And you know, babe, to me, it's like if they call more than 8 or 9 penalties, they need to keep the flag in their pocket. Now, if you jump offside, you got to call all that, but all these judgment calls. 15 or more penalties, you two involve. That's my take.
Yeah.
Well, they had 28.
28 penalties. What?
Well, let me say this, too. 28 accepted penalties. I think there are actually 30 or 31 flags thrown, but on a couple,
way too much.
A couple times they turned them down. But, yeah, it got out of hand. But I do – yeah, and there were a number of times. You know, they had an illegal formation on offense and legal formation on the field goal block team. So those aren't judgment calls,
right?
Or holding and PI.
You got to call those.
But they called 4 pass interference calls on Cowboys corner Anthony Brown. All 4 came on third down. So they sustained drives. 2 of them were legit where you said, okay, that's going to get called. And 2 of them were calls where you said, yeah, I think you could have.
Yeah, that's iffy.
That
one
in the pocket.
Yeah.
Babe Laufenberg, Dallas Cowboys color analyst. Thank you so much, babe. I'm sure we'll talk to you on Thursday night.
All right,
okay,
babe.
Thank you. Bobby, am I going to see you at the game, Bobby?
No, we're in the studio. We still, we locked down COVID still. I don't know, this new variant, but I'm looking forward to seeing you in the future.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, babe.
Thank you, Bobby. Christian.
All right.
Thank
All right, take
guys.
Care, babe. All right, this is Sports Talk. We're coming back, I promise. Greg the Fireman, you're next here on WWL.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bobby and Christian back here on Sports Talk. Joining us now from Locked On Pelicans is Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Jake, the Pelicans, right? 5 in our last 6, so here comes the surge. Here they come, and Zion's going to come back. Here, we're witnessing the playoff run right here.
Yeah, but he might not fit in the rotation. I don't know, Jake. you don't want him to mess it up. What's up with that?
I'm sure, Jake, you caught the amount of sarcasm that's dripping from those comments.
But nobody to win at Utah, I'm telling you, that was impressive. You know what I'm talking about? Like a win. The win that impressed me caught my attention. What? They won at Utah? Jake, you know that's a hard place to win.
Look, if you look at their last 3 wins against the Washington Wizards, the Utah Jazz, and then the Los Angeles Clippers, those are all 3 really quality wins. The Wizards are one of the top teams in the East. Utah tends to win at home. You know, they had the best record in the league last year. They're at the top of the Western Conference, one of the couple of teams up there this season. And the Clippers, even without Kawhi Leonard, still really good. So while I hear the sarcasm there, Christian, and I agree with you, right? Let's not get ahead of ourselves and say playoff push just yet. Look, the team's playing well. There's no doubt about it. They've started to figure some things out, and I think it really comes down to Willie Green settling on the starting lineup. When you've got a guy like Devontae Graham, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Herb Jones, the rookie, and then Jonas Valanciunas. He finally has just the best five guys that complement each other really well out there to start games. You're not seeing them get down 10, 13, 14, 15 points, something along those lines, to start the game, and then they need to hopefully get the bench scoring to kind of dig them out of it, which this team just doesn't have the depth to do. They're being able to stay even with some of these opposing starting units, and I think that's really paid dividends for this group. You've got toughness in Josh Hart. You've got defense in a guy like Herb Jones, scoring from Brandon Ingram, and as we saw in last night's game, Valanciunas. You get just enough three-point shooting and some playmaking for Devontae Graham. And look, I think this run really started with Willie Green figuring out that starting five.
Aside from the starting five, what else have they figured out, Jake?
You know, they've got them playing good defense, which is something that really jumped out to me over the past couple of games. It might not show in their defensive ranking and in some of the metrics, but you see this team just actually trying on that side of the ball, and I can't say we've seen that for the past 2 or 3 years here in New Orleans. You have Brandon Ingram, who's never really been an above-average defender, hustling on that side of the ball, making rotations, seemingly understanding where the ball is going to be and trying to get to places early to disrupt plays. You have Herb Jones, who is just absolutely unbelievable for a rookie to come in and do what he's doing on the defensive side of the ball. A guy that won't make an all-defensive team, but should at least be in the consideration for it, I think. It's been really impressive that Willie Green, after, you know, one season removed from the disaster that was Stan Van Gundy here, gets these guys to buy in. They hated for playing for Stan Van Gundy. They all needed just a break from the team and themselves after last season. And to kind of get over that really quickly, come in and start hustling like they are, I think has been a really good thing. And then you've seen the bench start to come alive a little bit. That was a big struggle for them for the first 10 or so games, where they were just getting no bench production. And it's not great right now, but you're at least getting some production and productivity and points from a guy like Billy Hernan Gomez, who's replaced Jackson Hayes in the rotation. You're seeing Nikhil shift to maybe a better role for him off of the bench as that go-to scorer there. He's inefficient, but at least now he's not taking shots away from a guy like Valanciunas, from Brandon Ingram. And it's fine if Garrett Temple and Tomas Satoransky aren't shooting as much, because you're trying to force the ball through a guy like Nikhil. And then even second-year player Kyra Lewis Jr. has come on a little bit, and you're starting to see a little bit of his play get elevated. And so that all adds up to, you know, the wins for New Orleans right now against a pretty tough schedule. And look, rest of the way, they have the easiest schedule going forward. So they've gotten through the roughest part, and it should hopefully be a little bit smoother sailing for them in the near future.
Now, Jake, two-part question I want to ask you. Like Zion now back in the fold, like practicing, what is the target date? Does it come at home or on the road? What is your take? And then all of a sudden, you think maybe they've figured out a starting lineup, but that's without Zion. Who sits down, or do you initially bring maybe Zion off the bench, limited minutes? How do you break that all down, and what do you think the strategy might be?
You know, in terms of return to play, it's probably about 2 to 3 weeks out, I'd be willing to bet. But this is really going to be the biggest test of the season for the Pelicans as a franchise as a whole, I think, right? A lot of the friction between Zion and this organization really developed his rookie year, when after that knee injury, he came back and they had him playing on bursts, right? He wouldn't play a full allotment of minutes. He'd only be out there for 3-4 minutes at a time. And he hated that, right? And you can kind of see it in a lot of his press conferences. He wants to just kind of be unleashed and go out and play. So how they handle his return to play, I don't think there's a world in which they'll bring him off the bench and where he would be okay with something along those lines. So I think he'll play. And I wonder if they're just going to let him go all out and just do your thing, big fella, and see what he can do, and let him kind of work his way back into shape. Maybe some of the medical analytics be damned in that sort of case. So I'm going to be watching that very closely. As for who gets bumped out of the starting lineup, it's a good question, right? I don't think you can remove a guy like Devontae Graham.
How about Herb Jones? Come on, Jake. How about
maybe, but you know, he's the logical one to bump out of there, right? But his defense is so good, and I think you need him out there against these elite scorers, right? Imagine how that game against the Utah Jazz would have gone, that first one that they won, if you didn't have Herb Jones blanketing Donovan Mitchell like a cornerback, right? The entirety of the game, getting the ball out of his hands. That's one of the elite scorers in the league, and Herb Jones held him to, I think, 3 of 10 shooting. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but a really low percentage, just like 10 points. That's a win for New Orleans when you get that. So can you take a guy who shuts down the opponent's best scorer out of the starting lineup? And I don't think you can. So then it probably is Josh Hart who gets bumped, but I like his rebounding in there. This is one of those things where it's like a good problem to have,
right?
Almost a plethora of options. You've got six guys for five spots. You've got to figure it out. But that's better than, you know, having three guys for
right.
five spots or something along those lines. A little bit too many is maybe not a bad thing given some of the history we've seen here in New Orleans. But I think you almost need to leave Herb Jones in there. He's proven to be a really useful off-ball guy offensively. His jump shot isn't there. It isn't consistent, though he's working on that every single day. But if you watched him closely in that game against the Clippers last night, he scored 16 points. He only took one three, and it wasn't jumpers that he was hitting. This was a guy that on the weak side of the court, where the ball's away from him, realizes my defender's not paying attention to me. I'm just going to run toward the basket and then hope that my teammate will get me the ball.
Right.
You've got Josh Hart in kind of a playmaking role now. You've got Devontae Graham that can do that. We all know Point Zion is a very real thing. So if you've got Herb Jones just running all over the court, on cuts, through screens, whatever, there's ways to spring that guy and make him very useful offensively, even if the three-point shot and the jump shooting isn't there. So I don't know if they can really take him out.
Right.
I think he'll end up being Josh Hart, but, you know, I love what Herb Jones has done. It's rare you see a second-round pick, the 35th overall pick in the draft, contributing like this. This is not the NFL, which is what I hear a lot of on Twitter, where second-round picks really make a difference. They're normally nothing in the NBA. So as much grief as we've given David Griffin, he deserves a lot of credit for nailing that draft pick.
Now, you know, Jake, from as far as the scoring point, when you got B.I., you got Brandon Ingram, you got Zion coming back in the fold. I mean, I've been pleased. Listen, if he just does this, he don't have to make 7 out of 7 Valanciunas from the three-point line. I mean, to me, that's enough scoring. And how you spread the wealth, even if he's making like 4 out of 7, and we would all love that. But Valanciunas, that's been a pleasant surprise. And I think he's just going to get better the more games that he plays in a Pelicans uniform.
Look, he was outstanding in last night's game. 39 points, a career high. In the first half, he was 7 of 7 from 3. He looks like Steph Curry out there, right? Like the guy could not miss, and it got the whole team fired up. You saw them going nuts on the bench for him, and it was a lot of fun. That's what they need. It's the rare center right now, and this is a significant step up in his three-point shooting. His percentage was decent last year, but he didn't even average 1 3 per game. So to go to almost averaging close to over 2.5, I think is what he's at right now, is a really impressive number. And he leads the league in three-point percentage. That's not a fake stat that I'm giving you guys here. He's shooting like 51% from three,
awesome,
and is leading the league in qualified players right now. For a 7-foot big man, that's insane. But he can also get the ball down low, post up and score, and then get fouled and go to the free throw line and then make those free throws, which is something that's plagued New Orleans for a little bit. So he's kind of that unicorn type of big man that works really, really well next to Zion Williamson. We can get really excited about his three-point shooting in last night's game, but look, he's not going to space the court for Zion Williamson. No one is ever, when Zion Williamson has the ball on the free throw line, going to go put another big man on Jonas Valanciunas at the top of the three-point line. They're going to stick that big man under the basket for when Zion drives to try and double him and get the ball out of his hands, because Zion scores at like a 70% rate when he does that. But what Jonas is going to do to you is burn you when you do that. You
right.
kick him the ball and he's open for three. He's going to shoot it and he's going to make it. So the Pelicans' three-point shooting is less about spacing the court for Zion, because, again, unless a guy is hitting 7 of 7 every night, no one's going to guard him when Zion has the ball in their hands. But it's about making defenses pay. And the Pelicans, I do think, have those players that can do that. I think they need to be a little bit more consistent from three. You saw that awful three-point shooting game in the second game against the Utah Jazz, where they started 0 for 20 from three before Nikhil finally hit one late in the third quarter to go 1 of 21. That's not going to cut it. You need to make opponents pay when they give you these wide-open three-point looks, which you're going to get when Zion's out there. But Jonas is a guy that I feel very confident in being able to do that. It also does mean they probably need to start looking at the trade market to think about bringing in another shooter, just to give them a little bit more insurance in that area.
Jake Madison, good stuff as always, man. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, you guys.
All right. For all things Pelicans, subscribe to Locked On Pelicans on the Odyssey app, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We'll step away and come back and hand it off to the Saints Hour. I see you, Greg. We're still going to get to you. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Greg, the fireman on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines. Go ahead, Greg. Thanks for your patience.
Hey, Christian, thank you very much for getting to me. Semper Fi. I have a question for you and for Bobby and Mike, and then my little boy Cooper usually has questions for Bobby, but tonight my little girl Camille has questions. She's 10, and she has a question for Bobby. So my question is, Mike and Bobby, what do you think the LSU record from last year and this year would have been if Miles Brennan had not gotten hurt and had taken the team, you know, the whole way for both seasons? And so that's my question. And here's my little girl, Camille, and she's going to have a question for Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
Hey, how you doing?
Who do you think is a better wide receiver, Michael Thomas or Marcus Colston?
Short term, I would say Michael Thomas. Long term, Marcus Colston. I mean, that's an easy answer because Marcus Colston was answering the bell year in and year out. Michael Thomas needs to come back strong from his injury and get it done. I know he was NFL Offensive Player of the Year, but we need Michael Thomas to have a significant impact on the offensive side of the ball. We just need him. So I think it's like 1 and 1A. I think they're both outstanding. But Marcus Colston was more consistent right down the career. Now, you know, you can't maybe control when you get hurt or when you get injured. But all I know is that Marcus Colston was very reliable, and we need Michael Thomas to be that kind of guy. Now, what was the first question? It was about
if Miles Brennan hadn't gotten hurt, how would LSU turned out?
If Miles Brennan, this is my opinion, if Miles Brennan was the quarterback, LSU would have been 8-4. I think they beat Arkansas and having a chance, great chance to upset Alabama. I think they beat Alabama and Arkansas would have been an 8-4 team. I mean, that's just my opinion if Miles Brennan was the quarterback.
Bobby, as we head out, how about the Celtics' Enes Kanter changing his name to Enes Kanter Freedom upon becoming a U.S. citizen?
It just shows you this is a great country. Everybody bitches about the United States. What? How about you go somewhere else? The United States is awesome. Here, all of a sudden, he's critical of the Turkish government, and he's so so unbelievable that now he's a U.S. citizen. He puts his last name, his middle name, so Kanter Freedom. His last name is now Freedom, so because he's so glad to be in America.
Think about how powerful that is.
That's powerful. And he is a giant. You can't miss him. If he was walking through an airport or on the street, you knew he probably played in the NBA or something. This guy is a giant of a man. He's so glad to be in America. God bless him.
It's the Saints Hour next with Mike Haas, the voice of the Saints. I'm Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. I'm out. Bobby, do you think?
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.